He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla. And in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway. This morning, just for a few minutes, God's amazing grace. God's amazing grace. When you woke up this morning, it was not your clock, even though you have set it an hour ahead. It was not the children's. It wasn't Snowball. Nor Chico that woke me up this morning, but it was God's amazing grace. This hymn was written by John Newton, which was a British ship captain. And at the age of 8, his mother prayed for him that he would be saved. And in that shipwreck, hauling slaves from Africa to Britain, England, he was shipwrecked. And down on the shores of a wrecked ship, he began to pen these words: God's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Then he goes on to say, through many dangers, tars and snares, I've already nothing but the grace of God. And that's all we can say, that it's amazing. It's amazing because it reaches down to all human beings. His grace is astonishing in that it excels all human reasoning. His grace is accomplishing in that it perfects all human requirements. Prior to this text, Paul says, before God extended his grace to us, we were dead in transgressions, sin. We were the object of God's wrath. We followed the ways of the world. We were God's enemies. We were enslaved to Satan. We were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. By nature, we were children of disobedience who chose, hear me good, to disobey God and serve the devil. When you do wrong, you choose to do it. You make that choice. You can say whoever you want to say made you do it, but actuality, you made that decision to do whatever it is, good, bad, or indifferent. But because of God's great love for us, he's rich in mercy. He quickened us. He made us alive in his Holy Spirit. Yes. And even when we were dead in our transgressions, he saved us. He quickened us. In other words, this word grace, it's God's love in action. God's unmerited favor towards us. In his mercy, God does not give us what we deserve. Yes. And in his grace, he gives us what we don't deserve. Mercy. It's amazing. He does not give us what we do deserve. But in grace, He gives us what we don't deserve. Though we deserve condemnation, but through God's matchless grace, he provided us with justification. We are justified by faith. We deserve death, but through God's amazing grace, he grants us eternal life when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. We deserve to be sent to hell, but through his massive grace, he offers us heaven. He offers us eternal life through Jesus Christ. And it's my choice. It's my choice to accept him or reject him. And we saw in that Sunday school lesson that everybody don't accept Jesus. There are those that are bound to go to hell. They made up their mind that they're going to do their own thing. But there are others that have chosen to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And that 10th verse, I want to say something there. That now he says that, for we are his workmanship, his trophies, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We were created for good works that God had prepared for us to do before we even came, before the foundation of the world, that we should walk in them. Now, we are not saved by good deeds, but he has saved us that we will do good deeds. It's not work to save us. You got folks preaching, got preachers preaching, that's lost. Deacons, that's lost. Ushers, that's lost. Choir singing, that's lost. Because if you have not accepted Jesus, no matter what role you play in the church, that ain't gonna save you. You gotta accept Jesus. Savior. He says in Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and all things are passed away. It all become new. There ought to be a different in you now, because you are a new creation. You're not the same, but yet there's a lot of that same stuff still in us. But as we get more of God in us and allow the Holy Spirit to work in us and through us, become more like Christ. You don't have to continue to do wrong. You can choose to do right. That's a choice that we make. Because of his grace, he gives us a second opportunity to get it right with God. I come by to tell you this morning that there's too much church play. Too much hypocrisy. People teach, preach one thing and do something else. They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. Your walk and your talk ought to be the same. If there's a difference in your walk and your talk, something is wrong. You don't see the saints wearing no blue uniform. Huh? Their colors is black and gold. My team color is white and blue. Or light blue and dark blue. Powder blue. Lighten up on that now, because we got some Saints fans in here now. But what I'm saying here, you know who the Saints are just by looking at the uniform. You don't even have to listen. You don't even have to hear the announcer or anything. When you see that black and gold, you know that's the Saints. When you see that big G in black and gold, you know that's grandma. And when you see that blue and gold, that's SU, Southern University. No one has to tell you. So it is if a Christian, if you are walking the walk, nobody has to question your walk. You don't have to have a big cross on your chest. You don't have to have the biggest Bob in town. Just live it. I was walking down the hall at Cabrini Hospital the other day. A young lady stopped looking at me, looking back at her, what's going on? She said, "Where you preach at?" I said, "What you mean, where I preach at?" I said, "Yeah, where do you preach at?" I said, "I'm pastor at Maranatha Baptist Church." I said, "I didn't tell you I was no preacher." He said, "You look like one." So I've been trying to figure out what preachers look like. But what I'm saying is that people can discern your spirit and know if you're on the Lord's side without saying a word. That's all that I'm saying. Because of God's amazing grace, he has made it available for you to be his representative here on earth. You don't have to quote scriptures. You don't have to say hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, praise God. Just live it. Just be. Just do it. Thank you. Thank you. Just do it. And it's amazing because only God can take a worthless, devastated, hell-bound sinner and wash him in the blood of Jesus Christ and place his Holy Spirit in him and create a brand new person. That's amazing. That's only God can do that. Nobody but God. Worthless, devastated, hell-bound. But yet God can take you and transform you through the renewing of your mind. It's amazing. God did it for us. What we couldn't do for ourselves. Because of God's amazing grace, no one is beyond the reach of a loving God. But God, right about God. Who gives us grace? Glad you asked that. God gives us grace. He the one that gives us grace. For the text said, for by grace you have been saved through faith. James 4:6 said, God gives grace to the humble. In other words, you got to come down off your high horse. Those who are humble-minded enough to receive it. Those who submit themselves to the Lord. Ephesians 4:7 says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God's purpose in our redemption is not simply to rescue us from hell, as great a work as that is. His ultimate purpose is that we be saved for eternity. His ultimate purpose is that the church will glorify him, not of ourselves. We got to move. And I keep saying to us, we can't keep doing church like we've been doing it for the last 50 years. Hear me good what I'm finna say here now. We got to move to whatever we have in Mount Holly, it must be Mount Holly doing it. Now, the choir may be taking the lead, but it's not the choir program. It's God's program. Amen. The ushers might take the lead, but it's not the ushers' program. Sunday school might take the lead, but it's not the Sunday school's program. It's God's program, and that department just happened to be leading it. But we compartmentalize it, and we say the ushers are doing this, the senior choir doing this, the other, whatever other group is doing this. But it's God doing it through us. It's God's program, and thank God he let us be on it. So if I'm not an usher, then I don't have to show up. But if it's God's program and Mount Holly is doing it, I don't have to be an usher. I'm supposed to God's program, ain't that what this? Company said, don't say support the Sunday school program, but God's. But now somebody has to take the lead. Hear me good. Please hear me good. Don't misunderstand me. Somebody got to take the lead. But at the end of the day, it's Mount Holly Baptist Church that's doing it. And it's God's program, and he allowing us to be on his program. Be thankful. Be thankful. And so, the ultimate goal of God is that we bring glory and honor to his name. That's what it is. And in that text, he says that now, that is not of yourself. You didn't save yourself. I didn't save Willie, didn't save Willis. But God saved us through his amazing grace. And it's a gift. Now it's free, but it ain't cheap. But it's a gift. And all you can do with a gift is receive it. He has made it available. But now, everybody may not want to accept your gift. I have known people to be so mad with another person that they didn't want nothing they had. I don't want it. Don't give it to me. I've seen that now. Maybe you haven't. So it is with grace. Everybody may not accept God's grace. When you see those thieves on the cross, one say, if you're who you say you are, save yourself. Then save others. But one of them said, no, boy, you're wrong. He has not done nothing amiss. We have done wrong. We deserve what we are getting. But this man have done nothing wrong. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come to your kingdom. He saw more than a dying man beside him. He saw a king behind him. He said, this day you will be with me in paradise. Even though Abraham is dead, but you're going to meet him there. Moses is gone, but you're going to get there for Moses. Because you're going with me now. Come on. They both had access. But only one accepted it. Nothing has changed, my darling. Salvation is not of works, but you are saved. Jesus done took care of the work. When he was at Calvary, he said, it's finished. God's plan of salvation for man is finished. Nothing else to do. Nothing to add to, and I dare you to take anything away. It's a done deal. You just got to accept the done deal. You can. Like when you go on the lot to buy a car, you can accept the terms that the dealer brings. Or you say, no, I don't think so. And he'll go like he's trying to reduce the cost, come back a few minutes later, can you deal with this? No, I don't think so. He goes back and finally give you the price you were looking for in the beginning.
Oh, my love.
He said, what about this here, Rev? It looked better. I think we can deal with that. Huh? But that's the choice. We could have took the first deal. But we wrestled with him a little bit. Didn't just take the first deal. So it's up to me to accept this grace now, not later. When you're dealing with man, you may have a second chance. But with God, you don't know if you're going to wake up in the morning. We don't know if we're going to go home this evening. You got to do it now that the blood is running warm in your veins. He says in that text, it's a gift. It's not of works that we can boast of. And secondly, God's amazing grace, that's what sustains us. That's what keeps us going. 2 Peter 3 and 18 says, we are to grow in grace as we grow in knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are chosen by grace. Romans 11 and 5. We are to continue in grace. Acts 13, 43. We approach God in prayer at the throne of grace. Hebrews 4 and 16. His grace sustains us, keeps us alive. His grace. That's why it's amazing. Yes, it we don't understand it. Yes. That he woke us up this morning.
Yes, did.
He didn't have to do it. But he did it.
Yes.
And he allowed us to be in our right mind.
Yes.
Somebody laid down last night, didn't get up this morning.
Yes.
Somebody laid down last night. They got up. They didn't know where they were at. Yeah. Didn't know who they were.
Yeah.
But we did. Yeah. Well, I know we did because we're all here.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I don't think nobody brought you in here either, did it? Came on your own power. God's power. His grace.
Yeah.
Finally, his grace sustains us. God gives grace. It strengthens us, excuse me. God sustains us through his grace. And finally, his grace strengthens us. You remember when Paul had that thorn in the flesh? He prayed 3 times for God to remove the thorn from his flesh. And now God answered him and said, my grace is sufficient. He said to Paul, some things God will leave in you. To humble you, to keep us on our knees. If he moved everything, we'd get out of ourselves. Because we get out of ourselves even though he didn't don't move everything. You know how it'll be if he moved everything. But he needs to remind us every now and then that I am who I am. I am the bread of life. I am the doorway of heaven. I am life, the light. I am the truth. Because of his amazing grace, my darling, we have a relationship through faith in Jesus Christ. And we are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. And as I said earlier, we're created for good works that he prepared for the world was created. Because he saved us to do his good works in this life. His grace satisfies the dissatisfied. His grace encouraged the discouraged. His grace enables the undisabled. His grace give hope to the hopeless. His grace give help to the helpless. His grace love the unlovable. His grace brought Jesus from heaven to earth. Because of God's grace, God's redemption at Christ's expense. He went to Calvary. He who knew no sin, he who committed no sin, redeemed us with his precious blood on the cross. Peter said he bore our sin in his body on the cross. He died that we might live. By his wounds we are healed. He died, didn't he do it? Amazing grace. He died, the day became night. He died until redemption plan was completed. He died till a Roman soldier testified, surely this is the Son of God. He died, didn't he do it? They laid him in a borrowed tomb, but early, my rock in a weary land, my Alpha and Omega, my shelter in a time of storm, my bright and morning star, my Ezekiel's wheel in a wheel, Job, horse born in the valley, Abraham's traveling agent, ain't he all right? He got up, he got up, he got up with all power in his wounded hand, ain't he all right? And he's all right. He walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me I am his own. The joy, the joy, the joy we share as we tarry along. And he's all right. And he's all right. God's amazing grace. That's what's keeping us, Manali. That's what have brought us thus far. And will take us home one of these old days. His grace. God's redemption at Christ's expense. If you think about what God did for you, all because of his love for you, when we share in the Lord's Supper, we are reminded that Christ came from heaven to earth for you. Luke 22, beginning at verse 19 and 20, and Jesus is preparing the Lord's Supper to share. And he says to them, the bread, it represents his body, which was broken for you. The blood, the cup, represents his blood that was shed for you. He did all of this for you. Just for you. That's awesome, my daughter. That God would allow his son to die in Willie Place. Just for you. Just for me. That's what this is about. To remind us what Jesus done. What God done through his son, Jesus at Calvary. That's it. When you lose that, you lose the essence of the Lord's Supper. He don't want us to forget that. You know, we celebrate birthdays, celebrate grandkids' birthdays, because we don't want to forget them as they grow up. We don't want to forget it. So we do something. And we are reminded later of their first birthday, the second birthday. I got pictures reminding me of Nicholas' first birthday. My mother was 99. Her birthday and his birthday the same day. My mother was 99. Nicholas was 1. We celebrated 100 years. That picture's there. His first birthday. His birthday, March 10th. My mother's birthday was March 10th. That memory will be with me forever. This should be with us forever. To never forget what Jesus has done for us. If events of history in our life is important, this is more important. Because this is eternal life. Those things will pass away. But this is eternal life. Those are churches open. If there be one this morning, we invite you to come. You come. Just as you are. And John, whosoever will, crowd. This is your moment. All we have is this moment right here, my darling. This is your time. This is your day. To come, if you be present. If you have not sincerely accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Won't you come this morning? You can come by letter, Christian experience of baptism. But Jesus says, whosoever will, let them come. Come battered, broken, bruised. He's the only one that can fix our lives. Don't wait till you get it all together, because you'll never get it all together.
This is Pastor Dunkley. I hope our message has been a blessing to your heart. I'd like to give you the calendar of events of the Mount Olive Baptist Church. Sunday school, 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 11 o'clock. Lord's Supper observed every second Sunday at 11 o'clock. Midweek service on Wednesday night at 6 p.m. If you would like a copy of the tape you have just heard, you can reach us at 1410 Cathy Street, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71303. Or phone me at area code 318-448-3448. It's going to be all right. You be blessed in the Lord. Amen.
K-A-Y-T, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist